A major injury hits the Yankees, while Charlie Morton of the Braves hits a milestone. This is First Pitch. Yes, welcome on into First Pitch for Wednesday, August 14th, 2024. I'm Lindsey Crosby. He's Christian Rau. Let's talk about some of the biggest stories from yesterday, and I want to get to Charlie Morton and his historic achievement first, but we have to talk about, we touched on this on Tuesday's show. Jazz Chisholm left Monday night's game with an elbow injury he suffered sliding into home in a blowout loss to the Chicago White Sox. Imaging, everything came back yesterday. He has UCL damage in his throwing elbow. We don't yet know if he's going to require surgery or not, but UCL damage, obviously, that is that usually spells Tommy John surgery. It's either some sort of rest and rehabilitation or it's Tommy John surgery. How big of a blow is losing Jazz Chisholm to the New York Yankees?
Huge blow. Cause what have we seen from Jazz Chisholm ever since he went to the Bronx? It's been like a star is reborn, Lindsey. Like having him back in those 14 games, his slash line since being with the Yankees, 316, 361, 702 slug. I mean, you're getting a 1.063 OPS from this guy since he's been with the New York Yankees, already has seven home runs with the squad. Yeah, this is going to be huge. This is not something that the Yankees need right now. They're going to have to play third base by platoon once again. And now, thankfully, obviously, I don't want to see an injury, period. But thankfully, it's his non-throwing elbow. So that is huge. Yeah. That is big. But it's still going to be something where we probably see him out for a majority of time. And when he does come back, even though it's his non-throwing elbow, he's probably going to only be able to go into a DH role, which when you look at the Yankees roster, Lindsey, there's not a spot for him in a DH role, right? So this is a huge hit for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, this definitely hurts. Interesting trend that was going around the internet last night when this news came out was some of the health issues for Yankees trade deadline pieces in recent history. They went out and got Frankie Montas in 2022. He missed all of 2023. They got outfielder Andrew Benintendi. He missed all of September in the postseason. They went out, both Efros and Trevino got hurt, haven't pitched since 2022. Harrison Bader, the outfielder, they got him. He only played 100 of 190 games he was with the team because of injury. Now, they did get him on the injured list. So, clarification there. And then Jazz's UCL injury. I can't help but wonder, one, what is New York's training staff doing? And two, is it coincidental, is it ironic, whatever, that they passed on Jack Flaherty for health concerns, and the other move they made was a guy who ended up getting hurt?
Ironic is the name of the game, right? Yeah, Alanis Morissette, yeah. She from the Bronx? Where's she from? No, she's Canadian, right? So, I think that's true. But when you look at Jazz Chisholm's, you know, career stats since making his debut in 2020. If you take 2020 away, because let's be honest, it's really hard to just compare anything with that year. But even with that, 2021 and beyond, he hasn't played a full season. He had as most as 124 games in 2021. Then he had 60 games in 2022, only 97 last year. And then he was on his way to having a full season this year. Already had 115 games, but obviously it looks like that's not going to happen. He's probably going to be out for the rest of the season, I'm assuming. So, yeah, it's an interesting development here and thoughts about what the Yankees have done over the trade deadline over the past few years. And you mentioned the training staff. I'm going to go a different direction and say, this has got to be, you got to point the finger at Brian Cashman here a little bit. I think you really have to, you know, you're adding these risk players that you're trying to improve your team, improve your roster to make a playoff push. And they're not being able to help you in September, in October, because they're sitting on the injured list. So I think you got a pretty decent blame to go at Brian Cashman here, Lindsey.
At this point, I'm kind of curious, at what point is it just unfortunate coincidence and what point is it a trend? But I do want to point out that, like, it's frustrating not that Jazz is in this same stratosphere, but it's frustrating when you see talented players who can't stay on the field. And I remember Max Fried telling us a couple weeks ago, telling Braves media, the best ability is availability, right? And he wants to be out there every single start. I can't help but think about some of the guys who, if you could see them for a full season, what they could do, you know, like recent career Mike Trout, Byron Buxton before he started having all those knee issues. Royce Lewis is another one, number one overall pick. And when he's been out there, he's been phenomenal for the Twins. It's just a matter of when he's out there. And then you have guys who their careers kind of flamed out because of that same situation. Alberto Mondesi looked like he was going to be one of the next great shortstops in baseball. And just because of injuries, he could never really stay on the field. And so baseball is definitely better when the most talented players play. And Jazz is absolutely talented. Whether or not you think he's overrated, a lot of MLB players voted him like that in a poll this season. Whether or not you think he's overrated, he's talented, and the game is better when he's on the field.
I agree. Having those talented players, you mentioned Jazz, mentioned Mike Trout. Mike Trout, I think, is the obvious clear-cut answer here about having a player back. But you brought up Royce Lewis, and I think this deserves some credit. Obviously, he has not played a full season this year, but when he is on the field, he is one of the most dynamic players in all of baseball. His 162 game pace this year, Lindsay, 61 home runs, 138 RBIs. I mean, we're talking MVP caliber play from Royce Lewis if he's on the field every single day. So you're talking that injuries don't have anything to do or don't change the landscape of MLB. You might want to guess again.
Yeah, I mean, that 161 home runs over a full season is Aaron Judge territory. And for a third baseman shortstop to do that is absolutely absurd. So would be nice if Royce Lewis was out there. But talk about a guy who has been out there, who has been remarkably available in his career. Charlie Morton, the 40-year-old veteran, pitches last night, gets a no decision against the San Francisco Giants, but goes six innings. I believe he gives up two runs. But late in his outing, he picked up the 2,000th strikeout of his career. And it's significant for a couple different reasons. The first one, when I was getting ready to write takeaways for Braves Today, I was kind of looking to see the pace he was on in his career. At the age of 33, when he signed with the Houston Astros, he had 630 career strikeouts and a career ERA of 4.54. And since then, in the next 8 years, he went from 630 to 2,000. He averaged 70 strikeouts a year before that. That season on, he averaged 170. So it's never too late for a dude to figure it out and put it together and become dominant. Just remember that. But like 89th pitcher in league history to record 2,000 strikeouts, 7th active player. So I'm going to go through the list real quick. And I just rapid fire both of us, yes or no, this dude is a Hall of Famer. I'll do it in order of strikeouts. 3,000, Max Scherzer, 3,405.
Yes.
Yes. Justin Verlander, 3,393.
Absolutely.
Yes, Hall of Famer. Clayton Kershaw, 2,961.
100%.
No, not a doubt. Chris Sale, 2,366.
Yes.
Yes, his peak was the best in baseball. Garrett Cole, 2,204.
Yes.
Yes. Lance Lynn, 2,003.
No.
No. Charlie Morton, 2,000.
I'm going to say no. Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I think both Lance Lynn and Charlie Morton can go in the Hall of Very Good, but there's not, to me, and I think you can see it with early career. Chris Sale is a great example of this. The 7 year peak of a guy. Lance Lynn's never been one of the best, like the best pitcher in baseball over any span, right? Chris Sale, early in his career, you can look at six consecutive top five Cy Young finishes and be like, this dude was, he didn't win one, but this dude was one of the best pitchers in baseball in that period, right? So I feel good about five of those guys being Hall of Famers. No Lance Lynn, no Charlie Morton. And I don't know if those two guys can do anything to get there either.
Yeah, at the age threat right now, I mean, Charlie Morton, at the pace that he's been on as of lately, he might be signing a 20-year contract at age 50. Who knows? But with Charlie Morton and Lance Lynn, I think you're right. I think that they maybe just miss out. Maybe we see them years down the road. Maybe a senior committee sees something else. But with strikeouts, the league is changing where the you know, there's a plenty of strikeouts happening. I feel like this 2K, you said it's 87 or 89? 89 players?
89 in career, yeah.
So I feel like that's going to, people are going to catch up to that quite quick because, I mean, the game is just changing. There's more strikeouts in the game. So I think that's just a stat that is unfortunately going to fall out of the way. And although Charlie Morton and Lance Lynn were fantastic veterans their entire career, I think they'll miss out on Cooperstown just slightly, but yeah.
Yeah. I think the bigger change to the Hall of Fame eligibility is going to end up being wins. I just don't think you're going to see those guys who have the ridiculous win totals because of how baseball treats it differently. You'll get strikeouts. You probably won't get the wins. And then it's going to be a longevity thing for a lot of guys. A lot of teams, if the stuff diminishes too much, like it's going to be hard for them to keep running you out there. And these guys have been some of the best, like longevity. They're all, Gerrit Cole's, I think, the youngest of those, but all of them are obviously like the rest of them. Verlander's over 40. Scherzer's over 40. I mean, Morton is 40. Like you're all, they're all up there in age. I don't see a lot of current pitchers who are just so intently focused on stuff necessarily being able to maintain that through the age of 40 to get the number of strikeouts you would need to be in this list.
And I think that's a good thing. I think that this should not be an indicator for Hall of Fame because I don't think that should be a pitching stat. I don't. Like
pitching wins are dumb. Pitching wins are so dumb.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, speaking of pitching wins being dumb, let's talk about that. Hunter Green of the Cincinnati Reds has been one of the best pitchers over the summer, and we're not talking about it. So his full season stats, right? He's 9-4 with a 2.83 ERA in 24 starts, which is good. It's really good. The team is 10-14 in his games. He averages just under 4 runs of support. He's got 9 of his starts, they scored 2 or less runs for him. So he's not getting a ton of run support here. That's kind of skewed because they have 3 8-run games and a 10-run game under him. It kind of skews that run support number. But over the summer, he's been legitimately one of the best pitchers in baseball. The last 7 starts, and last night he dismantled your St. Louis Cardinals. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. Strikeouts. Yes. In the last 7 starts, the team has gone 5-2, but he is 4-0 with a 0.98 ERA from July 6th through yesterday. Fun fact, when I pulled this up, he has hit more batters than he has allowed runs. 6 hit batters, 5 earned runs.
So and over that span. Yeah. I'll go ahead. What's your question? Go ahead.
I was going to say like, I guess my question is, like, can he contend for the Cy Young on a team that is probably out of the postseason and not doing that well?
Yeah, Cincinnati's right on the fringe, I think, of competing for a National League spot. And it's more on the out than inside. Mm-hmm. And the National League Cy Young race is becoming very fun now, too. I mean, it's you have Chris Sale, who we've seen do some crazy things at the beginning of the week.
It's Paul Skeens,
right? Paul Skeens, who is tearing it up as a rookie. And then I think Hunter Green. I think those are the 3. I know you're going to go over the odds here in just a minute, but
yeah.
You talk about he's got more hits batsmen than runs allowed. I think he also has more pukes on the mound than runs allowed over the summer as well. So he also puked on the mound again, if you didn't notice that. It's just one of those things. But if he keeps pitching the way he is, I think the Reds are going to force him to maybe throw some chunks out on the hill before he throws some of those wicked fastballs. But no, you're right. Hunter Green deserves better from us. He deserves go ahead and put that schedule
out, Lizzie.
Yeah,
he deserves better from Cincinnati.
Oh, us too, because we weren't talking about it. But no, I agree. True. He deserves more recognition for what he's been doing. And I think that it's going to start being a narrative if he continues this way. Mm-hmm. But I just have a very hard time taking that Cy Young award winning performance away from Chris Sale right now. I really do. As great as Hunter Green has been, and if he continues this pace, it's going to be a very tough 1-2 punch. And we're going to talk about Paul Skeens a little bit later on in the show, but I think he's going to show a little bit of regression, and we have a question about his innings later on in the season. So I think when we get down to it and the final award hits, I think it's going to be between Sale and Green, but I think Sale's going to get the nod. If the season ended today, obviously I'm giving it to Sale.
Yeah. So looking at the odds, and I'm not going to name the sports book because they're not giving us money for that, but Chris Sale is the favorite -200. His stats, 13-3. He leads the National League in wins, an 8.13 winning percentage, which leads all of baseball. His 2.61 ERA leads the National League in his 22 starts. He struck out 177 batters in 134 2/3 innings. So his 11.8 strikeouts per nine leads the National League. His ERA plus 162 leads the league. His fielded leads the National League. His fielded independent pitching 2.12 leads all of baseball. So legitimately having one of the best seasons, on par with that 2012 through 2018 stretch where he just kept piling up Cy Young 3, Cy Young 2, Cy Young 4s. He's in that same boat, and barring some sort of absurd collapse, he's going to get at least, I think, a top three finish, if not win the thing in the National League. The guy we didn't even mention in all of this, Zach Wheeler of the Phillies, he's the number two odds at plus 190, although he has stumbled a bit over the summer. 2.78 ERA right now. He's 11-5 record, but his ERA was at 2.16 in mid-June. Since then, June 16th through now, he's allowed an ERA of close to 4, and the team is only 5-4 in his 9 starts. Something where like 23 earned runs in 55 innings, 9 home runs. He's had a little bit of a home run problem. He's averaging about one an outing. His walks are up, his strikeouts are down. Don't know if it's just fatigue or what, but he's allowing an OPS of almost 700. So he's 2, and then 3-4 tied Hunter Green and Paul Skeens at plus 900.
Well, if we've learned anything from the National League Cy Young voting from last year, recency bias is a big deal. Blake Snell did not have a good first half. He had a fantastic second half of the season. He wins the Cy Young. So not saying he didn't deserve it, but the recency bias does come into play. We see recency bias a lot in baseball, period. So Zach Wheeler, him, I don't want to say falling off, you know, for a lack of a better term right now.
Falling down the board, maybe.
There we go. When you see the other players like Green and Sale doing their thing, it's hard not to put those other ones ahead of them. So I agree.
Yeah. And long shots on the board. There's only 6 names on the board at this point, mid-August. Dylan Cease and plus 3,300. Tyler Glasnow, the Dodgers, 5,500. Yeah. So it still feels like it's going to be Sale, but I think it's probably legitimately a 2 or 3 person race. Speaking of Cy Young, he's not on the board of the American League, but I think he'll get some votes. Emmanuel Clase of the Cleveland Guardians. We mentioned the other day, they have been struggling to maintain pace. They've been kind of slow. The bullpen's been amazing. Their bullpen's been amazing all year. The pitching staff has struggled. He has taken it upon himself to single-handedly will them to victory. He recorded 4 consecutive saves on 4 consecutive days. 2 against Minnesota, 2 against the Cubs. So 4 innings pitched, total of 3 hits, 4 strikeouts. It threw a total of 53 pitches across 4 days. One, give the man a few days off. But do you think that we see Emmanuel Clase get into the top 5 of Cy Young voting with the season that he's having, currently sitting at a 0.64 ERA and 37 saves?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win the Cy Young, but I think he deserves finalist votes. I do. He's the first reliever since Edwin Diaz in 2018 to record saves on 4 straight days of work. Mm-hmm. So if you're wondering, you know, that doesn't sound too impressive. No, that's very impressive that he's doing that on no days off. So I agree. I think that he deserves some finalist votes. And we don't see that happen very often these days from relievers. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I don't know the last time a reliever has received finalist votes. So if you know, if you're a reliever, big reliever fan, let us know in the comments description below. When's the last time a reliever has finalist votes for either the AL or NL Cy Young winning? But I do think Class A deserves it, what he's done over the year, not just the past 4 days, but we go back to that recency bias, Lindsay. If he's continuing to do this pace, those finalist votes might turn into maybe fourth and third place votes, maybe.
Yeah, again, 0.64 ERA. He leads baseball in games finished with 32 and saves with 37. The last two seasons, he led baseball in games finished and in saves. So the dude's a workhorse. Although, also interesting fact, he's thrown exactly 72 and two-thirds innings in the last two seasons. He's at 56 and a third right now. Do we think they find a way to get him to 72 and two-thirds innings between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, that's so that's what 20 innings left he has. So
he's got 16 and a third innings left. Do you think you find a way to get him 16 and a third innings of the last month and a half?
Yeah, I think he's got it, because there's still about 40, 45 games left. So no, I think he can do that. I think that's the case. Yeah, I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, there we go. Okay, quick pitch real quick. Couple of interesting things that caught our eye across baseball. First one, in the minor leagues, Dylan Cruz, number 2 overall pick last year by the Washington Nationals, has 3 home runs in the last 4 games. They've already promoted James Wood. What do you think the odds are that Dylan Cruz gets a September cup of coffee in Washington and is primed for a rookie of the year run in 2025?
I think the odds are high, Lindsay. I think the odds are really high. What we've seen with Washington so far this season, they moved on from a lot of their veterans at the trade deadline. I think they had a great deadline. Might I add, I really like what they're doing with their squad right now. I can't believe that I'm giving so much credit to Mike Rizzo, but what he's doing with this farm system and this team has been really incredible ever since that Juan Soto trade. So I think the chances are really high. What he's done so far this season in AAA has been nothing but incredible. 263, 340, 474 slug with an 814 OPS. That's pretty good. Now, I think he could marinate a little more down in AAA, but I think it would be more crucial for his production if you gave him, maybe a 10 game cupper up in Washington. So I think it would be a fantastic idea. And if I'm a betting man, I'm saying, yeah, he gets it before the season's over.
Yeah. Talking about moving on from some of the veterans. Obviously we discussed the other day, Victor Robles got DFA'd, Eddie Rosario got DFA'd, but they traded Jesse Winker to the Mets. They traded Lane Thomas to the Guardians. And so you've got center fielders Jacob Young, who's kind of having a breakout year. Then obviously you have Wood. Cruz could be your third outfielder. So it'd be really interesting to kind of see if they do that. Couple teams and players that have been hot recently. Astros have won 7 straight games, but Alex Bregman's homered in 4 straight games, their third baseman. Countering that, the Miami Marlins, their third baseman, Jake Berger, has homered in 6 straight games. The Marlins used Berger to beat the Phillies. Phillies are now in a slump. Atlanta's catching pace here. Which streak is more impressive? The 6 homers in 6 games or Bregman doing it in 4 but having a grand slam and getting a walk-off in there?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to have to go with, and the numbers don't line up here, but I'm going to go with Bregman because he's on a team that is on pace to take over the AL West, which I think they actually did take over the AL West last night after the Mariners got beat up by the Tigers. So I do think that the Astros are doing big things, and Bregman's obviously a huge part of that. Won the American League Player of the Week with Yordan Alvarez, tied for it. So as much as I like Burger Time, in Miami, I think Bregman's got to give the nod here.
Slight cleanup there. Wasn't a walk off. It was a late home run. They were on the road. And it wasn't a grand slam. It was a 3 run homer. So that's on me. Okay. Rapid fire real quick. ESPN put an article out predicting some stats for the end of the season. We're going to do over under on these things real quick. If they can happen, Aaron Judge, 60 home runs, over under.
Over.
He's going to have to rake to make up for losing Jazz. Shohei Ohtani gets a 50-50 season, over under.
55-55. Yes.
I'm saying under. I just find it hard to believe he's going to be able to maintain the pace all season. He's at 33 stolen bases right now, 37 homers. I don't think he breaks 50 in both categories. Ellie De La Cruz, over under 80 stolen bases.
Yeah, he gets over on that.
I'm saying over. They've got nothing else to play for. They're going to let him run wild, right? Bobby Witt Jr., 225 hits, over under.
Under. He's going to just miss it.
Given that they got good news on the wrist hand injury, I'm going to say over. I think he gets it. Alec Bohm, 60 doubles.
Also saying under, just missing it. Give me 58.
I'm saying under. The Phillies have been slumping, so I agree with you there. Paul Skenes, over under, 225 ERA.
He's going to go over. I think we're going to see a little bit of regression, and he's not going to have some time to fix it because he's going to be sat down. Some inning limits are going to hit him.
I'm going to say over, but I think it's going to be really close. Dylan Cease, over under 250 strikeouts. He's at 181 right now.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think that he's on pace for like 246, if I saw it correctly. But I'm going to go and say yes, that he gets to 250. I think he's going to make that National League Cy Young just a little bit more interesting, Lindsay.
He's in fifth place right now. I'm going to say under. I think he's going to have a stumble somewhere. I don't think you can count on pushing him to 100-something pitches to get a complete game incredibly often. I'm going to say under. Let us know your thoughts. We'll link the article from ESPN in the show notes. If you have over-unders for those, let us know what you think. We want to hear from you. This has been First Pitch for Wednesday, August 14th. If you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor, like the video, subscribe to the channel. It really does mean a ton. If you're on audio, leave us a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice and tell your friends to come catch up with what happened in Major League Baseball with First Pitch. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.